Hey, welcome to the Bitcoin Matrix. I'm your host, Cedric Youngelman. In this episode of the Bitcoin Matrix podcast, I chat with Pablo from Panties for Bitcoin, a family-run business that designs high-quality undergarments. We dive into Pablo's incredible journey from Argentina to Canada, his early career in garment manufacturing, and how a cancer diagnosis became the unexpected turning point that led him to Bitcoin. Pablo shares the economic realities of Argentina, the dangers of hyperinflation, and the passion behind creating a slow fashion Bitcoin brand. If you're curious about building resilient businesses, the immigrant experience, or living a principled life on a Bitcoin standard, this conversation is for you. If you want to get in touch with me, it's Cedric@thebitcoinmatrix.com. And now, let's enter the Bitcoin Matrix with Pablo from Panties for Bitcoin.
What is real? How do you define real?
You can't jump into cash. Cash is trash. What do? You get out.
Today, I'm excited to be joined from Pablo from Panties for Bitcoin, which produces gorgeous, high-quality garments designed in Montreal and made in Italy. It's a family-run business. Pablo, welcome to the Bitcoin Matrix podcast. How are you, sir?
How are you, Cedric? Thank you so much for having us. It's a pleasure to be here and an honor to share this episode.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat. You know, we've been bumping into each other now. I don't know for how long. I think we might have met in Miami. I know we definitely spent some time in Nashville together.
Yeah.
And then we got to spend even more time this year in Vegas together. I don't know what's been kind of bringing us together. I've kind of just watched you guys from afar. I really like what you guys are doing. It's kind of exciting. I think as I learn about you guys, it's like peeling, you know, layers of an onion, if you will. Because, you know, you hear the brand and maybe you just don't imagine or you don't know what to imagine who's running it. And I'm getting to know you guys, and it's a family-run business with three boys, wild. So I would love to, you know, maybe hear a little bit more about you and your background. And like, where are you from? Like, what was your vocation or career, you know, before all this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm an industrial engineer. I graduated a long time ago in Buenos Aires, Argentina. I born in Argentina, all my family born in Argentina. So that's the beginning of the story. I always been in the manufacturing sector, underwear for men's and women, and that's where everything start in Buenos Aires, Argentina. So I moved to Canada in 2008, almost 16 years ago, and here we are.
So all right, let's go back to Argentina. How did you get into the underwear business as an industrial engineer?
Well, I was very interested in the production processes at that time. As an industrial engineer, I love to optimize, make it more efficient, production lines, layouts, labels, all that type of things that was probably all times. People doesn't study that anymore. Movements of the workers to make it faster, efficient, cost, supply chain, all that type of things. And at that time was a booming of the underwear for women. Victoria's Secret was just starting to fly. And my father and my mother in Argentina start working on that field. And me as a young kid, and at that time, we used to, I don't know if it exists anymore, but we used to go at night for the high school. And during the day, we worked. And I was helping my dad and my mom in Argentina. And I never left that field. I worked all my life on that. Yeah.
Okay, and so I guess it's second generation business for you.
Yes, it's a second generation business for us. And when I moved to Canada, I continued doing the same thing here in Canada. So it was a long story because I know I look very young, but I'm not that young. So it's a good couple of years in the business, yes.
Yeah, and is your wife involved in the business? I've met her on the floor. I know she's usually involved at the events, but is she more involved or?
Oh yes, she, absolutely.
You know, CEO? No. I mean, yeah, how involved is she, and what does she do?
Yes, my wife is working at my side. She's also designing, creating, participating in any big decisions that the company does. It's a family company. She's a big part of it as well, of course.
Yeah, I've met her. She's a lovely woman. She seems to really have an effect on a lot of people in the community. I've seen her take a lot of pictures with people. But let's go back to Argentina. So you're running this business in Argentina, and now you're in Canada. So how do you go from, and why do you go from Argentina to Canada? Was it just because you love the cold weather and you want to go skiing? Did you go on vacation in the Rockies and you were like, we got to move here? What happened there?
No, it's not the case. Really not the case. Argentina has a very nice weather and very nice people too. I love the country. Still, my mother tongue is Spanish, and all my friends and family is still over there. So Argentina had a lot of... I've been through many, many phases of the Argentinian economy and society. When I was young, we had the dictatorship. We have a military government that lasts for a good couple of years, was a lot of missing people, was violent times also in Argentina, and then the economical troubles that never left Argentina. Apparently, just now, today is getting better, but we had 2001, we had a very, very deep crisis of the currency, as we all know, and the banks, and the banks took all our money, they froze your accounts, they kept your US dollars, they exchanged it at the exchange that they wanted for pesos. And at that time we saw what is going on, and we made a decision with my wife that we should try to make a change and that type of things not happening again to my family. So we thought that Canada will be a good destination for that, a stable and a nice country with open door at that time for engineer and families. So we moved to Canada and continue doing business here. And that was the story. But Argentina was very complicated at that time, 2001, 2002.
Yeah, that still probably had to be a complicated move, even if you agree with your wife to go. I mean, there's probably family you guys had to leave behind. This is what, in 2001? So you're young
kids?
No,
in 2001 we start thinking about it. We saw that it was not good, what is going on to us, to the business, and we waited for a right moment to do so. And we wanted our three kids to be born in Argentina, so we wanted that until the last one that born in 2007, and then we moved in 2008 to Canada. We wanted the three kids to be equal. So the three of them are born in Argentina. Now they have a Canadian citizenship as well. So we only moved in 2008. And yes, you're right. It was a very tough and difficult move with three young kids to a different culture, different language, different everything. And we were alone. We didn't know anybody. And yes, was extremely difficult. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I could only relate in the sense that, you know, I moved when I was 9, but my brothers were 9 and 12 years older than me. And then when my family, with my wife and kids as a young family, we moved from New York to Chicago, and my son was born in New York and my daughter is born in Chicago. And they have that sort of rivalry. And then we all sort of, as, you know, maybe minuscule refugees fled Chicago to Florida during, you know, the pandemic. But that was sort of like very, you know, in the chaos, it was sort of hard to make, you know, come to decisions and then carry them out, it felt like. I just can imagine that. I don't know how you picked Canada. You know, how's it been? I mean, do you miss Argentina?
Of course, I miss Argentina. I miss my family. I miss my friends. I moved to Canada when I already was almost 45 years old. So it was a huge challenge. We picked Canada because we had an open door there. We have an opportunity. We found some potential business to be done, and that was it. I looking in retrospective, I didn't have any idea what I was doing. No, it's I don't regret anything that I did at all. I don't know if I would do it again, but that's how we ended up in Canada. But, you know, I mean, things happen for a reason. So we sure. don't complain. We just look forward and continue working, and no regrets.
Yeah, and you know, I guess you voted with your feet, but you did, meaning the do part. So whether you made a mistake, you got it right or wrong, you were trying, you did something, you kept moving.
Yeah.
I'm curious, though, looking back on Argentina, was it hyperinflation that you think was the crutch of it? Or was it sort of other things as well? Like, I'm trying to understand, like, how bad hyperinflation was and can be. I think inflation's a lot higher than they're saying here, but I don't think we're anywhere near hyperinflation or what Argentina went through, I'm imagining.
No, we are nowhere near any hyperinflation here. No. We maybe have inflation, but to give you an idea, when you are in a place where hyperinflation is hitting, the stores, the supermarkets, they don't make it on time to replace the prices on the shelves. They go so fast. You go in the morning and in the afternoon it's another price. It's and sometimes things keeps moving without knowing the price. Maybe you go to the depaneur on the corner that knows you, and they give you something, but they don't give you a price because they don't know. Come tomorrow, I'll charge you. No. We are not anywhere close to hyperinflation here at all. I don't think we're going to be there, honestly. I mean, we may have inflation, we may have devaluation, debasement, yes. But hyperinflation, I don't see it. No, really. If we have an hyperinflation in countries like the US or Canada, imagine the rest of the world. I mean, it could be a disaster. Could be a pandemonium. I mean, I don't see it. Honestly, I don't see it. Countries that has hyperinflation, they have a very weak currency. Turkey, Lebanon, Greece, Argentina, most of the countries in South America. But I don't see it here. No, I don't see it happening here. No.
Sure. And maybe let's turn a little bit to Bitcoin then. When did you hear about Bitcoin, and what was that like?
I think Argentinians or people that live through hyperinflation and that type of economical troubles, we were Bitcoiners before the Bitcoin exists. I mean, we knew and we know that your money in the bank, first of all, is not your money. Second, is not on the bank. And third, is not money. We knew that in Argentina from a long time ago. Long time ago. It's just now that the Bitcoin gives the opportunity for, with the technological advance, to solve that problem with a better system, which in Argentina at that time, the only way out was the US dollar. And it was always the US dollar. You get your pesos in your salary or what, any income, immediately, whatever you want to save, or at least the value of something, it was in US dollars, always, and still today. That's why the stable coins are so popular in South America. Yeah.
What about yourself, and not so much from a Bitcoin angle, but as a Canadian business owner, do you think a lot about in dollars? Is dollars sort of a business, a unit of account for you in as a Canadian business owner, or do you think in Canadian dollars now?
No, I think in Canadian dollars.
Yeah, okay.
But I keep an eye on the US dollar always, because I grow up with that. I can't avoid it. It's in my blood. Yes, I keep an eye always.
So you're running a garment business in Canada. You have a young family. How did you hear about Bitcoin?
Well, it's a bit of a story that we have there. I mean, I heard from father of a friend of one of my kids at the hockey practice, you know, the when the kids are young, you go to the practice and you stay there, you watch your kids and talk with the other parents. And I was talking with another parent. I said, hey, Pablo, do you know about Bitcoin? He said, no. What should I know? No, it's because it was at that time, I don't know, was 2017, I think, beginning of 2017, and it was at 2000 and went to 3000. And I know that guy, it was a software engineer, and told me, well, we have a guy at the office that he quit because now it's a millionaire because he bought I don't know how many bitcoins and he sold it. I said, no. Well, that rings me the bell, but then I forgot. Then I'm in one trip to Miami. I met another friend from the university, industrial engineer as well as working at PepsiCo in Miami. And he asked me, Pablo, do you know something about mining Bitcoin? No, because I have a girl that works for me and asked me permission for a week because has to modify the house to be able to cool the equipment for the mining. And I was ashamed even to ask what is she. I gave the week off, but I didn't want to ask what is that. Do you know what is that? I said, no. I said, and then it was the second time that. So I told to my wife at that time. I said, I'm going to investigate a little bit. There's a second person and is asking me about that. I'm going to investigate. So I start to read a little bit about it. Didn't do anything. That was. We are getting into 2018, and. 2018, I got diagnosed with cancer. So that was a very, imagine it's like you go to the street and the piano falls in your head. I mean, it's boom. So I was swimming every day, perfect shape, don't smoke and don't drink, nothing. It was a very big surprise, unexpected. So, and that took me out of work for a long period of time. And at that moment, I took advantage, or for some reason, I was already interested in Bitcoin. So I start to read a lot about Bitcoin, a lot. And that was my starting point, let's say, to go deeper in Bitcoin. And remember that famous episode of the pizzas for Bitcoin. I thought at that moment in a brand, like for myself, for my business, for underwear, panties for Bitcoin. Okay, that guy is pizzas for Bitcoin. I'm gonna put the panties for Bitcoin. I had to wait until finish the treatment of the cancer. Thank God everything went well, and today we are 2025. We are in remission. There is no recurrence, so thank God everything is good. But at that time, talking with my wife, I told her that, look, I don't know how many years I'm going to live, maybe 70, 80, 90, or 120. Nobody knows. But one thing I know is I want to spend the rest of my life, whatever it is, on the Bitcoin field. And that's what I did. So when I went back to work, I start to modify things on my company to be able to create this brand and dedicate the rest of my life to this brand, which is what I'm doing now. And thank God everything is going well, and it was an amazing decision, and I'm so happy to be in this Bitcoin community. And we also participate in all the meetups in Montreal. We start to know people in Bitcoin, in the Bitcoin community, and brought us to where we are now.
Okay, there was a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
Your wife mentioned to me that you were a survivor.
Yeah.
That my dad survived cancer once, not the second time really, but, and I think it was really the surgeon and the surgery that killed him, but not so much the cancer. But I'm glad you made it through that. And there's a lot to ask you. I'll start with maybe just getting back into your journey. I mean, how did your wife deal, and the family, how they deal with the cancer news and maybe you stepping away from work? Did they all have to step up? And then how did they deal with you maybe getting back to work?
Yeah, that was a very difficult times. Was very difficult to talk with the kids and communicate this type of news. I really didn't know how to manage that was very, very tough. I spoke with the doctors and here and there. The doctors, I don't know, doctors, I'm very grateful for all the doctors and everything they do and they did for us. But they, when I got into the doctor and the doctor tells you, okay, you have cancer and you fall in pieces, and I was alone at that moment, and they said, wow. And the doctor see your face. He said, oh, don't worry, relax. You are the same one that came into the room 10 minutes ago. I said, no, this is not the same. I'm not the same at all. This completely changed my way of thinking. Now I'm Pablo, but Pablo with cancer. When I got in, I didn't have cancer. Now I'm Pablo with cancer. So that's, and I spoke with people trying to find out a right way and how to communicate to the kids, and there is no right answer. I mean, everybody is different, every kid is different. So we took the approach to say the minimum necessary without diminishing the problem, but not exaggerating that, because everybody has to continue with their lives. I mean, so and we leave it like that, and we just say, okay, that has a tumor that is going to be treated, going to be staying at home for a while until this treatment is going to finish. And I just mentioned, I didn't mention the word cancer, I just said tumor. And like a week after, my youngest asked me, Dad, what is a tumor? So like it was resonating in their minds, but still, but thank God everything went well. And was a tough time. It was a tough time, really, because you don't know how the outcome of the treatment is going to be. It's so could go wrong or could go well. Thank God went well, but it's difficult. Yes, it's turning point for sure for my life, together with the Bitcoin at the same time, mainly the two things. Yes.
Right. And so now there's cancer, and there's, you want to focus, learn about Bitcoin, you're into Bitcoin. And so what was that journey like still? Like, did you, I know there's like a Tone Vase story in here. So what happened? How you, what are you trying to, like, how are you learning about Bitcoin, and what is that journey like at this point?
Well, I guess like many other people, the first idea is, okay, this is a lot of money to be made here. We're going to buy at 0.000 and we're going to sell at 100,000. Okay, so look, we need, it's just a question to a few graphics. I'm an engineer, a couple of resistance, support, Bollinger waves and this and that, and the whole thing. I said, okay. And then I read about Tone Vase, his webinars in New York for a day. So I said, okay, we go for a day, and then we learn this, and that's it. We're done. I went to New York. I've been a day with Tone Vase, and there is another big trader there called Bob Lucas, great guy. It's a trader, cycles trader, they call it. And I spent there, I learned the basics of the technical analysis, but didn't convince me. Honestly, I left there. I said, I went with one of my kids. I said, we are not traders. We are not traders. This is not for us. I mean, all my respect to the ones that does it and earns money and make a living out of that. Congratulations. But like I said, everybody's different, and every person has different ideologies or skills. So I didn't feel like dedicating my life to trading. So we finally continue with the idea of the panties for Bitcoin. But still today I have a good relationship with Tone. I just saw him in Vegas, and he was one of the very first that I met. I think it was 2018 or something like that. Yeah,
Tone, orange pilled a lot of people.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm not in it for the trading, and none of this is financial advice. Okay, so now you survived cancer and you're getting into Bitcoin, but now you want to turn the business into a Bitcoin, sort of focused business here. So, yeah. I mean, that's a lot more for the family to sort of like fathom and deal with. And when did maybe the family sort of become Bitcoiners? Because when I go to conferences and I sort of, you're probably the most fully formed Bitcoin family I've ever seen in action. In terms of, you know, the boys are grown up. They're young men now. Most of the Bitcoin families I meet are just starting out. And nothing against starting out families, but, you know, you guys are much further along. So what was it like maybe turning the whole business towards Bitcoin? Because now you're going into, like, how they're going to have to interact with the world. And you know, it's one thing for you to kind of go with your hobby and learn about something and get involved. But now they kind of have to be out in front and represent it and learn about it. And so maybe what was their journey? Were they, like, shocked at first that you wanted to turn the business towards Bitcoin? Were they already, was your wife already into Bitcoin at that point? So what was that like?
No, it took me a while to orange peel my own family. I mean, at the beginning, it was only me for a long time. I was crazy. I mean, I was talking about Bitcoin 24/7, all year round. I mean, it was unstoppable for me. And even my own family told me, you talk about Bitcoin again in any encounter with other families or whatever, and we leave. Stop with that. So it was tough at the beginning, but surely after time and me insisting, and I think the big change came with we had a booth at the Bitcoin Miami in 2022, I think, when they realized that it's not only me talking about Bitcoin. It's a big community, and we are a lot of people in this. At that time, not as much as now, but still a big community.
Yeah, no, your booth is always one of the most popular at the, you know, the what was in Nashville and before that Miami and now Vegas. When I saw you guys in Vegas, our friends Don Sell and Brandon were about to go run around, you know, half naked in your gear.
Yeah.
What'd you make of that?
Yeah, it was an idea that Brandon has, and it's amazing. I didn't see the final video yet, but I think it's going to come out soon.
Yeah, that'd be great. Those guys are awesome, and I'm sure that's a lot of fun. What'd you think of Bitcoin 2025 in Vegas?
In terms of strictly business point of view for us, it was the best. We never had a show with so many people at the booth, so many sales. Was a record sales for us. I mean, we never saw as much people as we saw this year in Vegas. Regarding all the other, I know there is a bit of shit coinery here and there and things that not everybody likes, but, you know, I mean, we're going to have to accept it. It's going to be difficult to block and or to make it massive or without being a little bit more open to all those people. I mean, and being open, you have the chance to change them. If you close the door, it's a bit more difficult. But for us, it was a good show. I understand all the comments regarding the shitcoinery, this and that. But, I mean, we are Bitcoin only. If somebody comes to our booth and buys from us, but at the same time they are, I don't know, Web3, whatever, it's their problem. It's not my problem. I mean, they have the problem, not me. We try to teach, we try to convince, and that's why we have Panties for Bitcoin, but that's their decision. We respect every decision.
Yeah, sure. And maybe what has sort of been, you know, the journey like with the customer? You guys are having a unique advantage, or, you know, to reach out to different groups. You have different, you know, models that connect with different communities. Sylvia is very connected with the women in Bitcoin. You kind of, like, your motto is live free. You guys are on Noster. You speak to lots of sovereign women, and your wife's very out there in the community. I saw amazing pictures of her from very prominent plebs and influencers and whatnot. So what has that been like?
Well, we start meeting people in the first Bitcoin 2022. The support of the community from every corner was amazing. We are very grateful, and we couldn't have made it without without all the support from the community, from any corner and point of view, to receive the payments in Bitcoin on our website. We have the BTC Pay server, which is amazing, works perfectly for us. All the women in Bitcoin, I would say, for us was a really big test, the first conference we went to, see the reaction and the feedback from the community. And it was amazing, honestly, till today. Very grateful for that,
Yeah, no, it's a great vibe. Let's talk a little bit about design. And how you guys sort of, what is the vision of the brand in terms of when I'm wearing my PVB briefs right now? They're awesome. But what is sort of the vision? What goes into a well-made, you know, well-designed garment? And what kind of fabrics do you use? How do you think about these things? And how would you kind of think, talk through that?
Yeah, well, we thought about when we create the brand, we change our way to see the business as we were doing till that moment. We think this is a brand created from Bitcoiners to Bitcoiners. So in a Bitcoin world, we can't imagine a Victoria's Secret where a girl or a woman has a drawer with 30 different colors, 10 different styles. So we try to narrow this to a few styles with the best fabric we can, with the best quality that we can make. Not China, no disposable garments. The best we can, and providing value to every Bitcoiners. Which, in a way, there is a word or a phrase called the slow fashion, in opposite to the fast fashion like H&M or those type of chains that they change every month. They have to bring new colors, and there's a lot of reminding items. There is a lot of disposable, let's say, stuff that they do. It doesn't matter if it lasts two or three washes. This is exactly the opposite. I mean, I'm not saying we are not launching new products, but we are very narrow from the moment we launched the brand 5 years ago. I think we added one or two items, no more than that, and very slow and very narrow, because also we are a family company. We are not a corporation. You can't invest. What we have, we produce. It's not drop shipping or print on demand or whatever. We have the inventory, so we ship from our own warehouse here in Montreal. So we have a big assortment on a lot of items, styles, colors, sizes. It's a lot of money. That's a lot of investments.
Sure.
That's the way we try to manage.
Sure. As someone who's a second generation business owner, what is it like having your children work with you at the events? How involved are they in the family business?
Well, they are still at the two youngest are still at university, so they are coming if they can for the shows. I love to have them, and it's a family trip. We enjoy a lot being all together and participating in a Bitcoin. I wouldn't even call it work. I mean, it's a pleasure to be there, and they say that they work and I only talk, but we all are enjoying very much all the trips. But they still have their fiat jobs where they can earn their own money and learn, and it's both things. Yes.
Yeah, sure. So please offer me a little insight, or lend me some insight. What is it like with the family in Vegas outside of the show? Do you guys go eat dinner together?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We do everything together. Yes, everything.
Wow,
we went
beautiful.
To the stack steak and shake. We do everything together, yes.
That's great. Well, I grew up in a family with two older boys. My father grew up with two older boys. His father grew up with two older boys. It's been a long line of boys, but I have a boy and a girl. I guess for, you know, maybe parting words, what kind of advice would you give to people around dealing with uncertainty or just lessons learned or whatever you might want
to
share?
Look, Lou, you have to keep doing what you're doing. You have to keep working, focus on develop your own skills, your own business, and the rest is noise. I mean, there is always uncertainty. I mean, nobody knows what is going to happen tomorrow, even today in the first world or everywhere. So build up something, learn something, focus on your business or your job, learn. That's the only thing you can do now, yesterday, and tomorrow, all the time.
To wrap it up, can you let us know where we could find Panties for Bitcoin?
Yes, we can find it in that pantiesforbitcoin.com. I don't know if we can, by the time that it is going to be live, we can offer like a special discount for the people that watch the show.
Sure, yeah. Use the code MATRIX for a special discount at checkout.
Okay, MATRIX. Perfect. I'm going to tell the guys that work on the website. But yeah, but that's about part of the story. Part of the story. Obviously, there's... can tell a story in 1 hour, but this is what we can say by now, let's say. Since my wife, I want to say hi also. Just
how are you?
Good. At the end of the day, we want to inspire people and get people to learn about Bitcoin and to get the message out there. So everyone in their role, they have to do that, right? So even difficult times, I mean, I think difficult times can give you good stuff also, right? So you never know. Even like we start this company after something really very difficult, but it was a moment that took us out of business and it was an opportunity to learn. So you never know what is going to happen, right? So sometimes things that are not what you expect or things that you feel like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. And then after a couple of months, you realize like, you know what? It was a good thing at the end because we had the time to learn. And from there, we create a new brand, a new strategy. So yeah. And if we can inspire people and if we can... make people learn and go through the process of learning, that it's amazing. You know, this show in Vegas, I had a customer that came, that approached, and he said, last year, I came and I paid cash. This year, I'm paying in Bitcoin. And it was amazing. It was like, okay, that's the whole point of the company, to inspire people to learn and to go and do their work. So that was very good.
Yeah, well, it's hand-to-hand business. And, you know, it speaks a lot to, on a Bitcoin standard, customers appreciate the provider and the producer appreciates the customer, and both people walk away happy and getting what they want. And it's just, we find that so much more in, you know, on a Bitcoin circular economy than anywhere else.
Yep, exactly.
But it must be really hard. There's very few producers who... can do it because there's very few producers that can actually get consumers to part with their precious Bitcoin. And you have to produce, you know, the most tremendously, you know, high quality goods like you guys are.
We work hard and we always work hard, but this is really something, it's special. It is special. It started in a point where we weren't in a good place and it brought us to an excellent place. So it's really very special, very, very special.
Yeah. Well, you guys brought yourselves to an excellent place. You guys did the work. That's proof of work right there. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. You guys kind of walked that
okay,
walk.
Okay, I'm going to transfer again to Pablo. And thank you so much for having us.
Sure. My pleasure. It's been a real honor. Oh, you lost my camera again. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Apollo 13. But it's a little bit like the lunar module in here where I have to, there's a certain order where I have to plug things in. Apparently, I'm short circuiting something here, all the equipment's frying out a little bit. You know, it's been an honor and a pleasure to run into you guys every time I do. You guys are very warm, kind, and generous. So I can't thank you enough for just being a part of whatever we call this community that we're involved in. You know, so Pablo, thank you so much. This has been so dope.
No, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to meet and talk with you. And this is what we love the most about the Bitcoin community, to meet the people, talk and exchange ideas. And thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Bitcoin Matrix. If you enjoyed the conversation, don't forget to like, subscribe, and drop a comment below with any questions or thoughts you may have. We'd love to hear from you. You can support the show by checking out our sponsors and affiliate links in the description. It helps keep bringing you great content while connecting you with awesome products that I believe in. Share this episode with your friends, family, or anyone curious about Bitcoin. And let's keep growing this community together. Stay curious, keep stacking, and I'll catch you in the next one.